Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you can get detailed information about a stock by simply touching its symbol on the crawling stock ticker? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
High yields. They drive Ira Jersey to distraction with Credit Suisse. We welcome him now.
Is there such a thing as a high yield anymore, Tom?
Yeah, that's a high yield, 1.53%. You nailed this. Of the major houses, you were the most assertive. We'd go to low yields. We went down. Draghi speaks, a presumed Bernanke to speak. We move 14 basis points and a cup of coffee. Now what?
Yeah. We do think that that yields are likely to go a little bit lower over time. That being said, the volatility is not a big surprise. So there is a little bit of sticker shock. People just don't feel comfortable necessarily buying at 1.5%, particularly if the Fed is going to embark on another round of asset purchases. And the last two times that occurred, interest rates went up. So that's something that I think some people are being cognizant of at the moment.
Well, is that what we're going to hear from the Fed this week, Ira?
Well, we think there's a possibility, although we think that September is probably the more likely time. That gives the Federal Reserve a look at a few more employment numbers, as well as obviously all of the July data that will come out in August. If we had something like a 0.9% GDP for the second quarter, if that had come out on Friday, that things were definitely decelerating even faster than people had thought, I think that the probability would be pretty high this Wednesday. But given the kind of as expected number at 1.5% on Friday, we think that the tone will be more dovish, but ultimately they won't actually embark on a new any major differences in the current policy stance.
Well, our survey says no change in the unemployment rate. That report out Friday morning, 8.2%, 100,000 new jobs, up from 80 the month before.
The survey's at 100,000.
100,000.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and we're pretty much in line with expectations. Our economics team is at 110,000, which is about 125,000 privates and continued shrinkage in the municipal employment situation, so about negative 15,000 there. So that gets you to 110.
Okay, so what you're thinking is the Fed wants to see one more. They want to see the numbers for August.
Well, you get two, right? So you get this coming Friday, you'll get July's numbers, and then right before their next meeting, the Friday before their next meeting, we'll get the August number. So if both of those don't have one handle, so if both of those are below 100,000, we'd have to think that the probability of some action, in particular, we think mortgage purchases, unsterilized mortgage purchases, so basically another increase in the Fed's balance sheet is likely to occur.
I was trying to get through this without this discussion. We must go to it. Please describe a central bank that does sterilized or unsterilized actions.
Sure. So sterilized is similar. It is actually what the Federal Reserve is doing today. So it's keeping the size of their balance sheet constant. So during Operation Twist, the Federal Reserve is selling short-end assets to purchase longer-term Treasury securities. And in doing that, the size of their balance sheet, so the size of what we call the monetary base, that's not printing money, it's printing potential money, really, is remaining constant. In a sterilized program, there's different ways to do that. So there's different ways that the Federal Reserve can add assets and then either sell or encumber other assets. So things like doing reverse repurchase agreements and these term deposit facilities. So some of the exit strategies some people have suggested that maybe they should do some of those exit strategies now, but actually purchase assets on the other side.
Ira, when you look at the economy, and in a basic sense, there's the financial economy, and there's the real economy, what we live. Just very quickly here, are they attached right now?
They are always attached. I think the financial economy at the moment is kind of looking well forward and hoping that there's that it's possible to get out of the doldrums and that policy will get somewhat better. And I think that's particularly true in Europe. I think it's interesting. We keep on talking about the Federal Reserve, but I think markets are going to be very focused on the actions of the European Central Bank on Thursday.
Ira, our Patrick Donahue, trying to summarize the weekend's events in Europe. Let me just start with a general statement. What are you and Neil Sass watching from New York as you look at Europe?
Well, we're hoping for stability and basically some kind of action that brings about long-term credible change. I mean, clearly the problems in Europe are not going to go away overnight, but the frustration for those of us who watch the markets and who analyze the markets is that there doesn't seem to be enough urgency in order for policymakers there, particularly on the fiscal side, to basically realize, hey, it's, you know, there is something really bad going on here. We really have to finish it. Now, some would argue that for Europe, they've been moving very quickly, but for markets, they're moving very slowly. So you asked before about, you know, the financial versus the real economy. The financial economy acts instantaneously to every single bit of information, whereas, the real economy moves much slower, and to market participants, sometimes it feels like it's at a glacial pace, and that's some of the frustration and the reason for the volatility in many markets, and why there's risk premium built into a lot of different markets, peripheral debt.
What do our listeners need to know about how Mario Draghi's job is different from Chairman Bernanke's?
Well, I think the two big ones is that Mario Draghi cares about two things. Firstly, they care about only inflation. They don't have an inflation and employment target such as the Federal Reserve. So when you
What's Spain up, Ken?
That matters.
Oh, come on! It's got to matter.
Well, Spain's like 25% unemployment, and for young people, it's double that, right?
Yeah. So this is a problem, right? There's societal problems that occur when you have unemployment rates that high. And then on the second side, though, they do have the exact same mandate on the other side of a mandate that is not monetary policy based, but they both want functioning markets. That's the other piece of this. So the ability for credit to at least worthy borrowers flow, not necessarily to bad borrowers. But what happens when now all of a sudden large sovereigns are no longer worthy credits? Then that creates another set of problems that Mario Draghi has to worry about that Chairman Bernanke doesn't. And so how are they going to deal with monetary policy along with keeping functioning markets keeping within their own mandate? Because Mario Draghi has an issue where he has 17 different central banks to worry about. He has members from many different countries that have significantly different views of the world and views of how the capital that the ECB has should be spent. Whereas while Chairman Bernanke, yes, he has all these regional presidents, in general, they all look at one national economy as opposed to looking very myopically at their own country and then making their decisions from there.
Well, Ira, you said, won't be solved overnight. We on Bloomberg, the first word early this morning, we were talking with Jacques Collier, the chief European economist at Nomura in London.
Did you?
He said it could be 5 years. And it's already on top of the, 3 years it's been suffering
Ken,
already.
I'm sorry. I want to hear your answer, too. But Ken, this is vitally important. Jacques Collier with Nomura, written up by Ambrose Evans Pritchard this weekend, he has a $1.1 trillion euro price tag on Spain and Italy.
On just Spain and Italy.
Just Spain and Italy. So I don't mean to interrupt.
Is that overly pessimistic? Could it be another 5 years?
The issue is whatever plan they come up with is probably going to take 5 years, maybe even longer, to implement. The thing that needs to occur first is you need to have some type of plan. I mean, it's not dissimilar to, it's hard to go cold turkey on a lot of these things. So you have to have things like fiscal austerity, but at the same time, you have to figure out a way to stimulate growth. And all of these things are on the fiscal side. And we have that same problem here in the United States, is that there's not a whole heck of a lot to the real economy that central banks can do, whether it's the ECB or the Fed or the Bank of Japan. Ultimately, there has to be some kind of fiscal solution, which is unlikely in an environment where you're getting fiscal contraction because of high deficits. So you have this awkward situation where monetary policy is kind of in full force, but fiscal policy can't help. And fiscal policy is the only thing that is kind of left to be able to help. I mean, the fiscal cliff situation in the United States is a perfect example of that, where, do we want another recession next year because of fiscal contraction, or are we willing to kind of slow down or still have high deficits in order to ensure that we don't have a significant recession over the next year or two?
I I just find the markets will get in the way. I think we can talk about all this long-term discussion, but the markets, no surprise to anyone, are moving at light speed. Someone said the other week on the show, Ira, they were looking for the market slap on the face. What metric would you look at it? Would it be a collapsing euro?
Slap on the face for Europe, yeah, it would be definitely in the euro. If you know, there's more talk about one of the major economies dropping out, or there be a fiscal calamity in some of them. You know, we now have this group of countries called the soft core instead of just being core. You know, so there's even more. You can't even call it bifurcation anymore between the core and the periphery. Now it's, you know, the core, the soft core, and the periphery, and then even, you know, and then Greece maybe on the outside if you want. To talk about something left in the periphery.
Ira, thank you so much. Ira Jersey with Credit Suisse.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.